Well, good morning. My name is Derek, one of the pastors here. And don't you wish we had some good musicians that love to worship in this church?
Man.
Terrible. Yeah, no, it's awesome. You know, Paul referred to Baptist tradition, so I can too. You know, Baptist and other traditions, some would view the music portion as only set up for the sermon. I've even heard pastors say that. You know, the reason we do that is to set up the sermon, because the sermon is the biggest thing. I don't think that's the case. I think all of it is part of worship and equally valuable. When we're worshiping, that's prayer. I mean, when we're singing, you know, we're praying during that time. We're also learning. The songs that we choose, that Paul chooses, often teach, and so there's so much value just in all of it, and I would say God gave it to us. Read the Psalms. God gave us music for worship, so let's pray. God, we love you. We do thank you for song, even for those of us that aren't as musically inclined, that we can enjoy and we can worship through other skills and other talents, and we just thank you for that. We thank you for today, Easter Sunday, where we celebrate Jesus, you rising from the dead so we could have life, and we ask you, Holy Spirit, stir our hearts, whatever it is we need, encouragement, conviction, whatever it is that we need, you know it. I pray that you would do what you need to do in us for your own glory this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So have you ever heard of a person being institutionalized, right? Somebody who's been in prison so long that when they get out, they have a hard time actually living free. And I've even heard of some committing more crimes to go back in because it's easier to live in there. I was reading about one ex-con who described his life, and he would get up from the table and knock on the table. I mean, I guess that's something you do in prison. And he couldn't get over that. Or certain doors, if a door is closed, you just avoid the door because you learn that door is locked, it's off limits. Or certain times of day where they had check-in time, even years after being out, they would be in their room during those two times of the day for check-in time. Or if they have kids, they'd require them to check in at those times. Or their room, the living room, they call the TV room. And they have their spot in there, and you don't take their spot because everybody has their spot. That although set free, they really didn't experience the freedom. They kind of still lived as a prisoner. And I bring that up because I have seen so many Christians, who still live as prisoners, right? They don't live in freedom. And Jesus said, I came to set you free. In fact, he said specifically, who the Son sets free is free indeed. And that's what we're going to look at today, is that freedom. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. And so I want to begin with that question to you. Do you feel free? Do you feel free? Or do you feel still in bondage? Do you still feel enslaved? We're going to look at the idea of sin, but are you enslaved to maybe addictions or worry, fear for certain things? Do you live free? Jesus said, who the Son sets free is free indeed. And that is really good news. This is one of the reasons I am a pastor. You know, I didn't really see myself as a pastor. And if you know me, I don't fit the pastor mold. But this is the reason, because I want to see people set free and actually enjoy life in Christ, not just religion. And so for you, are you living in this freedom? And here's a question. We started it last week, and we're going to continue the next 2 weeks after this week. But did Easter change your world? Did Easter change your world? Right? Easter. Here, today's the day we celebrate Jesus rising from the dead. And if you were here Friday, you got to go through the stations of the cross and remembering Jesus' death. Because on Good Friday, Jesus died. Actually died. God in flesh went to a cross, was nailed to it, gave up his spirit, took the sins of the world from beginning to end of time on his shoulders and died. Was put in the grave. I mean, can you imagine that next day? The disciples who followed him and thought he was the Messiah, he was going to set up a new kingdom, he was going to set them free, and here he's dead, right? And most of them ran and hid. There was only one of his disciples there at the crucifixion. They ran and they hid. But 3 days later, today is when we celebrate, he rose from the dead. The tomb was empty. Jesus wasn't there anymore. And he wasn't just spiritually risen, he was bodily risen from the dead. Did that change your world? Are you living in freedom? You know, Jesus, this will be controversial, he didn't come to start a religion. Now, it is a religion, but Jesus didn't come to start a religion. When I think of religion, and maybe you have some experience with church, that it's, you know, organized religion is oppressive, and they just want to control you, and it's just a bunch of rules and kind of boring and judgment, and so your job when you come into a church is look good, right? Pretend like you got it all together. You have to look, and then you go home, and you know how it happens. That's religion, and really, religion isn't fun, and it's not what Christ came to do. And so I'm hoping today that if we get nothing else, we get this idea of what did Jesus do on Easter, that he came to set us free, not in bondage. And we're going to be in John, so you can turn to John chapter 8. But I'm going to start with a couple verses in Colossians, and they'll be on the screen here. It says this, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints of light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, forgiveness of sins. If you're someone like me, when I read, I like to underline. It's, you know, this in my Bible. I mean, I underline like almost the whole thing. but the idea of transferred, right? Delivered and transferred, redemption, forgiveness. And then I do that. And then I have to go back and like, and inheritance of saints. I mean, all of it is awesome. This is what Jesus came to do. He came to set free captives, right? Everyone is born in sin, actually in a kingdom, the worldly kingdom controlled by Satan. That's true. And Jesus came to bust down the gates and rescue sinners and transfer them into his kingdom, which is going to be future perfect, yes, but it's actually here and now. We can be transferred into this kingdom today and here and now. And if you have surrendered your life to Christ, to Jesus as Lord, you are in that new kingdom. But also, in that new kingdom, I would say there's a lot of Christians who don't live like they're free. Jesus transfers them, and we're like, I want to go back over here, you know? Or we keep getting stuck back in the world's ways, and we don't enjoy the freedom that Jesus came to give us. But here's what we see from the Colossians verse. Jesus came as God in flesh on a rescue mission to set you free. That's why Jesus came. Not to put you in bondage, not to give you a bunch of rules to be good. That's not what he did. Right? I mean, we might view God as this father who's like, I just want my kids to be good. That's not it. He looks at us and he loves us so much, he sent his son to die for us so that he could purchase us, bring us into his kingdom, and treat us as his sons and daughters who he loves to set us free. So John 8 now, if you're using the Bible in the seat in front of you, it's page 991. And if you don't have a Bible or you just really like this one, it's yours, take it home with you. But John chapter 8, we're going to read just a few verses, 31 to 36, and here is Jesus before he went to the cross, and he's having a conversation. His disciples are there, but there's a whole bunch of religious Jewish people around him. That's who he's speaking to, and he says this in verse 31, John 8, 31. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. They answered him, we are offspring of Abraham, and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free? Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are offspring of Abraham, yet you seek to kill me because my word finds no place in you. I speak of what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have heard from your father. This is an interesting chapter here, an interesting interaction. And if you read on, you'll see Jesus later will claim to be God. Maybe you've heard, well, Jesus never claimed to be God. He does in this interaction a little bit later. They're going to say, you're so young. He's early 30s. And you claim to see Abraham. He says, before Abraham was, I am. I am is God's personal name, Yahweh. So Jesus said, before Abraham was, I exist. They're like, you just claimed equality with God, and they picked up stones to stone him. So you can read forward. He's going to tick them off in this interaction, and he begins it here, though. It's going to be completed in that. He's like, I'm God. Yeah, we're going to kill you, and he kind of just, it says he disappears. You know, we don't know. Did he, like, blind them to him and sneak out of the crowd? It wasn't his time yet. He would go to the cross later. But here he begins with this, and it says at the beginning, so Jesus said to Jews who had believed him, that's interesting, because as you read through, you realize they didn't really fully believe in him. They were interested in him, right? They had heard him. They had seen his miracles. They were people, they're like, I like what he's saying, kind of. They believed some of it, what he was saying. And so they were interested, but they didn't really believe it. And I think that's helpful. That's who Jesus is speaking to, and I think our world is full of these people. I think our churches are full of these people who are interested in Jesus, but then when it gets down to it, it's actually more offensive. And there might be some of you here today that as you get into this, you're like, oh, and if you wrestle with it, let me encourage you, go with the wrestle. That's okay. That's the Holy Spirit. But as we see here, again, Jesus is speaking to spiritual people, religious people. And here he talks about freedom. In verse 33, they answered him, "We are the offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it you say you will become free?" That's really important. Now, a lot of commentators and things might look at that and say they're talking politically. They're not, right? They're clearly communicating spiritually because the Jewish people, their history was being enslaved, right? At the moment of this conversation, they were controlled by Rome. Now, Rome gave them a lot of freedom, right, to worship the way they wanted, but under their authority, right? They couldn't kill Jesus on their own. They had to get the Romans' authority to kill Jesus. So they're not free, right? They had been captured by the Babylonians. They were enslaved to the Persians. I mean, go down the list, the Assyrians. And so they're speaking spiritually here. So that helps us to understand. Spiritually, they're saying, because of our heritage, we are free. Meaning we are in God's family. We have salvation. We have eternity. And Jesus is saying, no, you're not. That's a little offensive, right? It was really offensive then as Jewish people because they were God's chosen people. Absolutely. I mean, no way around that. God did call Abraham to make a nation who would represent him to the world. And they thought because we belong to Abraham, we're his descendants, we're good. And Jesus says, actually, you're not. And I think there's many in the church or in the United States today, around the world, I'm good with God because I was born to a Christian family, right? Are you going to heaven? Yes, why? I'm pretty good. I do more good than bad. I've been to church before. I'm American. I mean, go down this list. They had this list as well. Here's why I'm good with God. And Jesus says, you're not good. You're actually still enslaved and you don't even know it. Every single human is born a sinner, separated from God and enslaved to sin. That's the truth. They thought they were born free. They were born enslaved and they needed to be set free. That's why Jesus came. And for all of us here, you were born enslaved, so it's your parents' fault. But you chose to sin at some point. I mean, I've met a few people who said, no, I've never sinned. But for the most part, we recognize we've sinned, which means we're guilty. We're all in the same boat. So maybe your experience with church is like the hellfire and brimstone and I'm so good, you should be like me and I'm going to judge you for being so bad. That's not the gospel. It's we're all born separated from God. We're all messy. We all look in the mirror and go, right? Like, could God love this? But he did. And so there's no pride or arrogance for the believer. There's only grace and humility that I don't deserve what God gave me, but he's given it to me. And so a free invitation to others. But it begins with this point of, apart from Christ, you're not good. And you're welcome to the club. That's everybody apart from Christ. This is an important point. He talks about this enslavement to sin. And it's easy for us, and this is what the church does often, is it looks at all the sinful actions, which are part of being enslaved to sin, all the actions, and then it says, go deal with those, which is why you may have felt this even before coming to church. I'm not good enough to come to church today. I need to be good. Maybe I can come in a month after I stop doing these certain things, right? We think it's about our actions, but here's the thing about sin. We are not sinners because we sin. We sin because we're sinners. That sounds silly, but bear with me. We sin because we are sinners. It is who we are apart from Christ. Now, when we're saved, that changes. The Colossians verse we looked at, we become saints is what it says. And so we're no longer viewed by God as sinners, but we still are in these bodies and still struggle with sin, right? We don't become perfect. But the enslavement is not because of what you do. It's because of who you are at your core apart from Christ. And that's what we need. And I hope that's the encouragement that the gospel, the message isn't you need to be better. It's you need to be set free. And Jesus did all the work so you can be set free. And then he's going to work on making you better. But it begins with what he did to set us free. Again, we're not sinners because we sin. We sin because we're sinners, but we can be set free. In Romans, it says this, and this is on the screen. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness? But thanks be to God that you who were once slaves to sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed. Again, this isn't perfection, but obedience from the heart, a heart change that then leads us to want to glorify God. And then he does deal with the acts of sin, but it begins with this, a heart surrendered. I love this, right? Sin, though, it says, which leads to death. That is eternal death, absolutely. I mean, read Genesis. Sin led to the first death. We die because of sin. But it's also talking about the second death, what the Bible calls it. Eternity apart from God in a real place called hell. That is true. But here, right, sin leads to death. But obedience, right, a surrender to Jesus as Lord leads to righteousness. Meaning God views us as right. And then we grow in goodness. We grow in righteousness. But it's not a self-righteousness. It's Jesus who gives it to us. And I love this. You know, thanks be to God, as you see here. Thanks be to God. Freedom is possible. You know, when I think about enslavement to sin, there is absolutely the idea of addiction, you know, and things like that. But for me, for the thing that kept coming to mind is fear. Right, and enslavement to sin brings fear. If we are, again, still sinners by nature, then our natural response to things will be fear. So why do we want to get a lot of money or whatever it is? Maybe we fear what's going to happen. We need the security of it rather than trusting God with our future. Again, it's wise to save, by the way. The Bible makes that clear. It's okay to make money and save, but do you fear what's coming later? Do you fear how other people view you, your reputation? Right? There's a fear there. Do you have anxiety and worry in your life? Why? What is it you fear? What is it you worry about? We can be set free from that. Now, I don't want to make light of there are mental struggles, right? So I'm not going to be one of those that says, just have stronger faith and all your anxiety goes away. You know, that's not fair. Sometimes there is medication that needs to be helped. But so I want to put that in there so you don't feel condemned if that's you and you struggle with that. But for a lot, I mean, the answer is Christ. He wants to set us free from those things. We don't need to struggle the way maybe we used to. Again, sin leads to death. But this freedom, it leads to life and to righteousness. You know, unfortunately, I think I got a really good example of it just this week. You know, talking about freedom and fear and what God does, because this, what we're talking about isn't circumstances. This isn't the health and wealth gospel. You come to Christ, and then you're going to be healthy, and you're going to make a lot of money, and everything. Like, that's a lie. And I know there are giant churches in the country that teach that, and they'll draw you in, you know, and they'll set, you know, you need to give this much, and God will bless you. That's a lie. And what that leads to then, when somebody has cancer, everybody around them goes, there's something wrong with you. You have too much sin in your life, or whatever it is. It's your fault you're dying. Oh, that's not the truth. So this week, I made a little bit of a mistake, and so my office burned down. Luckily, my office is apart from the house a bit. The office burned down, I mean, like, completely. I'm at the kids' school, emceeing an event, and my neighbor calls, like, the fire department's at your house, something's on fire, and you probably saw it in the paper, if you read the paper. But so I get there, and yeah, the office burned down. So all my library, my whole books, you know, my other preaching Bible, my computers, just go down the list. We had a boat that we've had for 16 years. It's toast, a car burnt. I mean, like all this stuff. And so it's one of those, you know, and I get home and there's the whole fire department there and I'm hanging out with the chief and just, and it's, so let's talk about fear. Fear of reputation. This is my fault. Like, this is dumb. You know, I mean, so like, how are people going to view me? And now I'm telling all you about it, right? But for real, like, isn't that real? When you make a real mistake, like, you fear what people will think of you. That's part of being human. You know, there's some fear. There's the fear, I mean, there's probably $40,000 worth of damage. So there's a fear, like, oh, we work so hard, and what, you know, like, will we ever be able to recoup? There can be a fear, right, in that. And even some, I would say, fear of loss. You know, the boat is, like, the best thing for our family. In the summer, we go out and have a great time, and it was just a gift that God gave us 16 years ago, and like, it's gone and it's my fault. You know what I mean? So there's some fear and shame, I guess I would say. You know, like, oh, this is my fault. And I wrestled with those things over the past couple days, but freedom really is, I have Christ. And he looks at me and goes, hey, dummy, I love you anyway. No, seriously, like, that's okay. Like, he's a good father. He's not going to be like, you're fine. You didn't make, no, he's going to be like, yeah, you're dumb. But I love you anyway. And I, right? And so there's, so like, I slept great last night. Future, will we get recouped? I don't know. But guess what? Jesus makes really clear as you read the news, I got you. Like, I've got your future. It's not based on your savings. Ever seen the supply chain breakdown? And you go to the store, maybe in the past couple, and like, where is everything? Just like that, we can lose access to all this food. Our security isn't in these things. It's in Christ, right? He says, I will take care of you. I feed I clothe the birds, or I feed the birds, I clothe the flowers, I'll feed you, I'll clothe you, right? So our security is in him. So that's the freedom I'm talking about. Not the freedom to succeed, but the freedom that in him, I'm good. And ultimately, Christ is coming back. Easter. Jesus died on the cross, rose from the dead, so we are forgiven. When he comes back, perfect kingdom, and it's going to be physical, with new body. Like, I have that, and I can't lose that. That's freedom. And that's the freedom I hope you have. You don't have to fear death, right? You don't have to fear judgment. Go down the list. Fear is gone in Christ. Even the shame of the sin you've done, it's gone in Christ. Now, does it take some work to experience that? Yes. Do we come together to experience that? Absolutely. But that's freedom. Who is set free? You guys need to hurry up because there's a second service coming. Who is set free? Look at verse 31. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The person who abides in Jesus' word is a true disciple and is free. This is a pivot point right here, and we're going to get into this over the next 2 weeks. Why do many Christians not experience freedom? This right here, because they don't abide in his word. His word is this. Right? The word of God is living and active, right? This is God's word, scripture. Abide means to dwell, to live. I mean, however you want to picture that. I live in God's word. This defines how I think, how I behave, how I respond. Many Christians, and here's the fact, it's the world and Jesus. It's a worldly philosophy or worldview and the Bible, right? Postmodern relativism. I want to go with that. That feels good. You believe what you want to believe. I believe all roads lead to heaven. That's not the Bible, right? Right? And so there's no peace in that. There's no joy in that. There's no freedom in that. The person that's free believes what happened on Easter. Did Easter change your world? They believe Jesus died on the cross, rose from the dead. He's God in flesh. Forgiveness is in him alone. And then they abide in his word, right? They look at this. This is how I'm going to live. This is going to define me. A disciple. We talked about this a little bit last week, but a disciple is a learner. Someone who follows someone else and patterns their life after that person. That's a disciple. And we learn from Jesus by reading his word, right? By looking how life happens. How do I respond to this? I go to his word. Or I go to a friend who knows the word better than me maybe and say, I'm wrestling with this. And they, if they're a good friend, will take me to God's word and then walk through it with me on what his word says. But it's based on this, right? He says truth. The truth will set you free, right? Postmodern thought, which is very popular today, is there is no truth. You define your own truth. You can be what you want. I was listening to a counselor podcast the other day, and this lady called in. My daughter says she's a giraffe. Like, true. That's the world. Like, this 13-year-old kid can come home and like, I'm a giraffe now. It's funny, but that's our world, right? But truth will set you free. The truth of the gospel, the one true God who created, I love that was discussed even or in the singing there, right? God created. It begins there. And the truth of God's word, scripture. Later in this book, John 17:17, Jesus will say this, speaking to the Father, sanctify them in truth. Your word is truth. Right? Sanctify. It's the process of being clean, cleansed, and changed. It only happens through the word. A person is not free by associating with the church. A person is not free by being baptized when they were a kid. Go down the list. You are free in Christ alone because of what he did alone and accepting his sacrifice for you. You know, we think that freedom is the freedom to do what we want. But that's not true freedom. It's actually the freedom, I would say, to thrive. Maybe you've met kids whose parents' parenting philosophy, and if this is you, I'm sorry, is freedom. Like, I'm going to let them choose. and consequence for their actions is the discipline we use. And I've watched this. I watched this on a soccer field years ago with a friend whose daughter was going crazy on the soccer field. I'm like, dude, pull your daughter out. Like, she needs to go home. This is, you know, I talked to him later. He's like, our philosophy is natural consequences. I'm like, you're a bad dad. But no, for real. Kids in that environment do not thrive. They are insecure. They feel unloved, right? The kids that thrive are the ones where parents put good boundaries to protect them and lead them, right? You can go this far and not further. Our God is a good God. It's the same way, right? So it's not freedom to do whatever we want. It's freedom to go his way, which is where we will thrive the most. I like Psalm 1:1-3. It says this. Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked or stand around with sinners or join in with mockers, but they delight in the law of the Lord. Scripture, the word. Meditating on it day and night. They are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit in each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all that they do. I love that picture, right? Rooted and abiding in God's word is like a tree planted next to a river, all the nutrients you need, right? Going the world's way is like watering your crops with Gatorade because it has electrolytes. It's not going to work. Some of you know what I'm talking about. You look at verse 36. It says, so the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. Jesus came to set us free on Easter. In Romans 10:9 and 10:13, he says this, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How do you get set free? You call on the name of the Lord. So we're going to watch a quick interview here with Zach, who's on the soundboard back there. He found Christ on Easter weekend years ago, and he's going to share how it set him free.
My name's Zach, and this is my Easter story. So about 13 years ago, I started as a paramedic in a small town in Minnesota, and we had a F4 tornado go through the town, and at the time, it was really busy at work and didn't really think about myself and like how it affected me. But when I was at home, you know, a week or two later, there was more storms that rolled through and I had a lot of fear, like something bad was going to happen. Like I was going to die every time a storm came. And I realized then that I needed something more in my life. I've never been so fearful of death until that moment. And thankfully, my wife, Caitlin, was going to a church at the time, and she invited me, and it was around Easter. The pastor kind of gave the gospel, and it was the first time I ever heard it that clearly, and it was that simple. So I did give my life to Christ that evening. And then that the next day, like Sunday, so I went on a Friday service, and on Sunday, they had like all these candles lit up, like 150 of them, and I remember leading over to Caitlin, like, that's one of those are mine. And I think she was like, why didn't you tell me? But I didn't realize how big of a deal it was at the time. But after I kind of told her about it, and we realized like this is what we need in our life. She got baptized. We got in a group that helped us grow in our faith and kind of go through struggles in our life. But at that moment, it was like life is starting all over again in a good way. During that time, a lot of things changed. I was, you know, partying a lot, drinking a lot, just really not in a good mindset with life. What I thought was good for my life to have a social life was actually really just not good for me personally and really for our marriage. So I kind of had to break away from my friends or at least change my way of life. So I lost some friendships along the way, but I knew with my heart, like, this is what God wanted me to do. So we started looking at our finances. And we even realized that we had to sell our house to get out of debt. At the time, we had group leaders that were willing to take us in and help us grow in our faith. And one of the hardest things was leaving Minnesota. It was really hard to leave really good friends, but we also know we grew closer to God because of it. We grew closer to them, just because they helped us with guidance with that. My fear came to fruition 7 years ago when I was diagnosed with cancer. I, at that moment, was actually pretty comforted by it, surprisingly enough. But I think I knew God was in control, and it just gave me more faith to pray more and to lean into him more. He ultimately is in control. And I had people that would be like, how are you so comfortable with this? It's like, because I have Jesus in my life. I would just say, you think you know what you're doing with, you know, going out and having fun and feeling like you have all the choices in the world and you're in control. But the reality is you're just going to be stuck in kind of a dark place and not feel free. You're always going to feel unfulfilled. If you just allow Jesus in your life, it's going to unlock the door to great things.
Wow. Thank you, Zach. Romans 10:13, whoever calls on Jesus will be saved. Did Easter change your world? Right? Easter, today we celebrate Jesus rising from the dead. Right? The greatest event the world has ever seen, and at the same time, the worst event the world has ever seen. Did it change your world? Jesus came to set you free. He came to rescue you. And maybe you have experienced salvation, but you're not experiencing the freedom. Or maybe today, for the first time, you realize that's what it means to be set free. I've never done that. Today is the day to do that. But here's the point I want you to get at the end. Jesus sets us free to thrive in all areas of life as we root ourselves in him and his word. And again, we're going to get practical over the next 2 weeks, kind of digging in this, how to experience this life, this freedom. We're going to think about thinking, you know, and work on get practical. But today, just right here, have you been set free? And be honest. Are you enjoying the freedom? I've given my life to Christ, but I'm not really enjoying the freedom. You know, we're going to go to communion in a minute here. But I want to encourage you to think about your next steps. And we have some of these on the Connect card here. You know, what might your next steps be? I'm trying to find them on here. I don't see them. They're here somewhere. Maybe not. Next, that's okay. I have them written down. But for you, if you've given your life to Christ, what aspects of life pull you down, right? Maybe where's the fear? Is it finances, relationships, identity? Consider how God's word, how Jesus through his word will come alongside you in that. And if you don't know, talk to somebody. Pray with somebody. And if today is the first day where you say, I want to be set free, today is the day for you to give your life to Christ. Father in heaven, we love you. We thank you that you did come to set us free. God, I do pray for anyone in this room that has not experienced your freedom, that they would do it right now. God, that they would pray to you, they would confess. Jesus, I confess I am a sinner. I am enslaved to sin, and I want to be set free. That they would tell you, I believe that you died on the cross and rose from the dead, and I am willing for you to be in control of my life. Amen. You know, if that's you, if today is your first time, we want to know. If you would do us a favor and fill out your Connect card, and under the comments, just write free and put that in the box, and I want to follow up with you. But today is the day when you can be set free. Then we're going to take the Lord's Supper. This is our time to remember what Jesus did, to remember Easter Sunday. We have three stations, one there, and one up here. Gluten-free is back there. But this is our time to take the bread, remembering Jesus' body broken, to drink the cup, remembering his blood spilled for us. In Matthew 26, it says this. Now, as they were eating, Jesus took the bread, and after blessing it, he broke it, and he gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took a cup, and then when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink of it, all of you, for this is the blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink again of this fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. So during this next song, as you feel led, get up, take the bread, take the cup, confess your sins to God, and thank him for what he did, looking forward to his return.